And finally, I'm so happy to have Logan with us. Hey, Logan, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. So I met Logan about a month ago as she was getting ready to participate in a two-week intensive social journalism documentary, social justice documentary project at SLB, and she made it. It's a hard project, and we got to know each other throughout. I'm so glad you did a really good job.
Thank you.
On that. I know it was hard, but I'm glad you did it. But we got to talking a little bit about one of Logan's deepest passions. It may actually be your deepest passion. I never asked you, but about musical theater. And we thought it would be great to involve you in this conversation too. So you'll hear Logan talking a bit between now and the top of the hour about this. I'm curious just to learn a little bit more about you and when you first realized you liked the world of theater.
Yeah, so when I realized I first liked the world of theater, my uncle had taken me to go see this like extravagant dancer. I was born and raised in Virginia, so he took me to see this extravagant dance show, and it was so, we got all dressed up, and I had like this pretty white dress, and my hair was done, and I felt so special. And when I went, that was my first experience, like seeing people on stage and acting and dancing and doing all these crazy things. And I was like, oh my gosh, that looks like so much fun. And I had done like little things before with like camps I would go to. Like, you know, you go to a summer camp and they're like, oh, we're going to put on a little play production for a week or so. Like, I had done little things like that. But really seeing people professionally doing it on stage made me realize, like, this is something I'd like to do maybe in the future if I got the chance to.
How old were you, do you think?
I think I was around 5 or 6.
And you can remember that so clearly.
Yeah.
And that really is a good example of why it's important to expose your kids and kids you know to opportunities like this, because you never know the kind of imprint they might leave. So your uncle took you to this show, and then how did you make the connection to do more, to get involved beyond just camp?
I just loved it, because I feel like my uncle, he did pass away around 2018, but I feel like he always was the artist of the family. He was very visually inclined. So he'd always have these painting and all these drawings, and he would expose me to all this music and all these different forms of art. And I feel like theater was something that I, you know, recognized, and he helped me see that. And that was just like something I felt I could be connected with him with, and I still do feel connected with him, even if I'm just singing the smallest song in my kitchen or something.
You must really miss your uncle, and it sounds like he was a great person. So did you go to a musical theater program or school? I know at Lincoln Park you certainly have all sorts of resources there, but how else did you work to sharpen your skills?
I really wasn't able to do much growing up. I would go to the summer camp in Virginia called Escape to the Arts. That was pretty much my only real exposure to musical theater growing up, like getting to be able to do it. And I like, last year was my first year having any real training.
Wow.
Yeah, last year was my first ever real musical. Well, no, that was eighth grade. My first musical was in eighth grade. Last year was my freshman year of high school. My first real voice lessons, my first professional dance classes, my first professional acting classes. Like, freshman year was the year that I really started getting into, like, doing things professionally and having real trained teachers being able to teach me.
You seem like such a natural, I mean, have you always been poised speaking in front of people?
That's really funny you should ask that. My mom, she would be like, you are always the kind of person who'd want to go up and steal the microphone and just talk. So I feel like I've always had that kind of talkative nature to me.
But there's lots to learn. So Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School is, you probably can imagine, is a school that helps students focus on those areas. It's not unlike Pittsburgh Kappa and other performing arts focused schools. Don't misinterpret, kids still are studying math and English and history and all of the other topics, but their school days are arranged so they can also major in what, like writing is one. What else can you major in at Lincoln Park?
I think there are 7 majors, and I apologize. If I miss any, I apologize, but there's musical theater and theater, and those are often combined in the same category as the theater department. And then dance is sort of its own department, but it's also kind of intertwined with theater. So musical theater, theater, dance. And then you have writing and publishing, which is its own department. You have media. And under media, you can have many different, like, I call them sub-departments. People probably don't call them sub-departments. But there's film, there's visual, there's graphics, there's photography. There's media is a very wide spectrum of a major. There's health science. And feel like I'm forgetting one, but maybe there's only 6.
I think you got them all.
I think I got them all.
Sort of counting. That's a lot. I didn't know about some of those. So yours is theater and dance, I would
Mine's
imagine.
Musical theater.
Musical
theater is really just theater and dance combined with a bit of singing thrown in there.
So what was it like when you started? Because you're being combined. You started going into your 8th grade.
Yes.
As an 8th grader, you're being combined with a lot of other musical theater kids. That has to be an interesting experience in and of itself.
Yeah, it wasn't like weird. It was just different because at least in my 8th grade year, we would have like a 4 and 4. So like Monday and Wednesday, we would have dance. And then Tuesday and Thursday, we would have theater which is like our theater repertoire class, and we'd have it with other musical theater majors in our grade. And then Friday, we pretty much just combined with the 7th graders, and we had theater repertoire all together as middle school. Because middle school is kind of like, not exiled, but pushed away from the high school. So we didn't really get to interact with them.
They have unique needs.
Yeah. But freshman year, it was a lot different. Freshman year, I had dance Monday and Thursday. And I had theater rep Wednesdays, and then I had acting Tuesdays, and then Fridays I had musicianship, which is always a tongue twister, but
it would be. So dancing, were these your first like formal dance lessons or instruction?
If we don't count the tap class I took when I was 3 and the Zumba classes I took over the summer, then yes.
How was that? Because I would imagine if you already have a sense of movement, and because I suspect you already could dance, but suddenly to be trained professionally, was there an adjustment to that?
It was, and it was really hard to kind of adapt because classes with musical theater in the name, you're only really going to be with your musical theater students. But if it's ballet or tap or jazz, you're going to be with other dance majors. And those are the people who've been dancing since they were three. And that's kind of like, it's hard, and you'll get stuck in the mindset like, why am I even here? Like, they're so much better than me. I'm still in beginner classes. It's like, it's okay. Beginner can range from never having a class in your life to taking classes over the summer and you just need to work on technique. Beginner means so many different things, and it's just kind of pushed into one category as you're bad at dance, but you're not. I feel like there's not a way to be bad at dance. It's a way to not care and give up at dance. That's when you're bad at dance.
That's what I was curious about, because I know a lot of musical theater kids, I'll call them, that have been doing it, you know, practically since they were 3, 4, or 5 years old with instructors in a very intense way. And it doesn't seem fair that if you decide to enter as a teen, for example, with great passion, that you would be excluded simply because you didn't know you had that passion, or you didn't have access to any programs to serve that passion. And I'm glad what you're telling me is you can make it there.
Yeah.
If you're in the right environment, you can not only get those skills, but ultimately perform on par with your peers.
Yeah. It's really a matter of working hard and how much work you want to put in, because 8th grade was my first musical, and I had got like a supporting lead role in my very first musical.
What was the musical?
We did Descendants the musical, and I was Fairy Godmother, which was my first Linkin Park credit. Yay! But that year, I was so determined and so passionate and so ready to work. I pushed myself. I feel like I worked pretty hard. And with things coming up, it's easy to have that mindset like, oh, my very first musical, I got a supporting lead. I can only go up from here. But like, that's not true. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be told no. You're going to be pushed down. You're going to be told more. You're going to be told no more than you're told yes. So it's a matter of working hard and working harder to improve yourself. Because there are people at Linkin Park who never had a dance class a day in their life and leave Linkin Park wanting to be a dancer, wanting to be on Broadway, wanting to teach dance classes and be a choreographer. You just have to work hard for it.
How did you figure out that rejection is part of all of this and just something you need to cope with?
It was a hard realization to come to. My 8th grade year, after I had did Descendants, I kind of fell into like a slump, because I had went for Pride and Prejudice right after that we were doing, and I didn't get into that, which is completely fine and normal, but it wasn't something that I was used to. Like, it was my first rejection, because like the camps I had gone to, everyone was going to be on the show. If you didn't get a lead role, you could be like a munchkin or some kind of set mover or even a tree or something. Everyone was going to be in the show somehow. So hearing no, looking at my email, not seeing the callback list, not getting the congratulations text from my friends, it was hard, and it took me a while, but I had an amazing teacher, Mrs. Schowler, that taught me in 9th grade year that you are going to hear no more than you hear yes, and that's just something you have to deal with. And sure, you can have a pity party for a couple of seconds, but you have to get back up. You can't let these kind of things get to you, because if you let it get to you, you're never going to make it anywhere.
What a great thing to learn. There are a lot of adults who need to learn that. And there are people, I think, who go through their whole life maybe not realizing that that's going to happen. So did you do another musical after Pride and Prejudice? After that opportunity didn't come through, was there another play or musical?
Not that year. That year I just kind of like stopped auditioning for things. But, and this is a thing I think every musical theater kid should do, even if you're interested in musical theater, if you're an adult or a teenager or a kid, I feel like the best opportunity you can get to be well-rounded in musical theater is teching for a show, working technically on a show. So during the spring, I signed up to tech for SpongeBob, that we were doing SpongeBob the musical, and even though I did get sick during the run, it was the most like informational and best experience I ever had. I found out how to work lights, which was extremely difficult, but I still did it the best of my ability, and it really gave me a sense that it's like, never be mean to your technical crew. Just they're going through the same thing you are, and if they are really, really willing to, they can make you look washed out and not right on stage. So just treat people nicely in musical theater, and I feel like that's something people forget often. Everyone's human. Everyone's struggling. Everyone is there until 9 o'clock. You are not the only person that's working hard. You can be working harder, but people are still working hard.
That's a really good observation. Plus, I talk about this here a lot. Just the other day, I was saying to one of my colleagues, I really want you to learn more about how to edit audio. Even though your job might not involve being a full-time audio editor, you will know better how to interview for audio that is to be edited if you understand the nuts and bolts of editing. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine you end up understanding more about presence on a stage or interaction with people building or changing sets. If you do it yourself, you have some more empathy for what they are actually doing.
And that's something my parents would always tell me. I do plan on going to an HBCU, so they want me to be very well-rounded, kind of dip my toes in everything. And I feel like with the arts, with being an artistic person, everything kind of correlates, at least for me, in my brain. So it's like being in musical theater, doing auditions, having your voice, having your audition voice. And then I got to have this amazing experience with SLB, learning how to edit and write stuff for the radio. It's now I know how to edit self-tapes. Now I know how to talk if I were to be on a radio interview like this. Like, I know things and I know what to do in other areas. Like, you really need to get involved. That's one of the best advice I've ever been given.
This is Logan Rome, who is 15. She is a rising 10th grader. Just about in a month, she'll be a 10th grader, I guess, at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School. What else do you like to do?
I don't know. Musical theater is kind of like all-consuming, but I like to cook. I'm always cooking something. Very big cooking person. I mean, I sing a lot, but that's kind of musical theater.
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me that question, I'm not sure how I would answer it, because if you're lucky enough to be able to do something you're passionate about and you enjoy. I mean, I like to read and write and sit in the sun. And but I get to do a lot of what I like listen to music and talk to people here. Is there anybody who's in your family? I know your parents are back behind you.
My mom and my dad are out there right now. And then I actually have four older siblings. Terrell, Shamira, Khalil, and Jordan, but they are not here today.
So. And what are their ages, or what do they range? Oh, you don't need to tell me. Are they much older than you?
Yeah, so Terrell and Shamira, I know they're in their 30s, and Khalil is 10 years older, and Jordan's 8 years older. So Khalil's 25. And I don't want to guess Jordan's age in case she's mad at me.
You're telling me the same, what I was curious about, because my older brothers are 6 and roughly 5 and 6 mm-hmm. years older than me. And growing up, we might as well have been in different generations.
Yeah.
We didn't hang out much. And Ricky has a sister that is almost 18 years
wow.
older. So she was almost like having a second mom growing up.
Yeah.
But I was just curious. The work you've done is amazing. What advice would you have for somebody maybe like you who suddenly discovered theater later in their youth, maybe, you know, you're 11, 12 years of mm-hmm. age, and it finally has dawned on you that you can do this if you want. Any advice?
It's very easy to get discouraged, especially for me, being that I am a person of color, I'm Black, and that I am plus size compared to my peers. It's so extremely easy to get discouraged and feel like there's not a place for me and there's like nothing I can do, because it's rare. You really don't see any people of color or plus size people in old theater, old musical, golden age kind of things. I feel like my best advice is to don't get discouraged. Focus on yourself. Focus on what you want to do. Focus on your craft. Just don't get caught up in drama, because that can ruin everything. And if you really work hard and put in the ethic, everything that you will see as unfair when you're discouraged will become fair game. Everything that you see you can't do, everything that you think that's not right for you will soon become accessible. You just have to get in the mindset that you are able to do it and that you're able to get there. And that's something I wish I could have heard when I was in eighth grade, but I'm glad that I know it now.
I'm sure you've heard it before, and probably for me in different ways, but what a great attitude.
Thank you.
And I just have to be that direct. Have you thought about which HBCU do you have any in mind?
There are a few. I've been looking at Howard. I know that Yale has a very good Black theater program. Even though they aren't an HBCU, they do pump out a lot of Black actors, which is good. I'm looking for schools in Georgia and Florida and those kind of places, because they have a good acting success rate. But if I don't end up finding an HBCU that's right for me, I really would like to go to NYU Tisch, which is a beautiful school. So, yeah.
Wow, you've got a lot of time to figure that out.
Lots of time. Not rush.
Speaking of time, we moved through this so quickly. Is there anything else you want to add that we haven't talked about? Anything in the world?
Come see shows at Lincoln Park.
There you go.
But also,
can we mention this year's show? Is that public yet? Maybe not.
They're released. They are released. The one coming up fastly approaching is Catch Me If You Can, which will be on stage in October, which I'm very excited about. It's a very beautiful musical.
And that hasn't been cast yet.
No, not yet.
But the idea of doing a musical on Catch Me If You Can, I didn't even No, it was a musical. That would be fun.
Oh my gosh. If you are listening to this right now and you like kind of like upbeat, jazzy music, but also like, I don't know, it's just such a beautiful musical. I can't explain it. The music is so good. The set is beautiful. The lights are beautiful. Like, it's going to be a beautiful show. So you should come see it. I would also like to add, back on my topic of being Black and plus size musical theater, that even if this is something I struggled with, even if there is a role that is played by a predominantly white person or a predominantly thin person, that does not mean you cannot play that role. You can still be Veronica Sawyer or Regina George or anyone that you think you could do. It's okay to have dream roles.
So don't disqualify yourself. Yes. Don't say no to yourself. I think that's really wise
Thank
advice.
You.
I'll ask you my change question. If you could change something in the world, if you picked a priority, it doesn't have to be the single most thing. Do you know what you'd change?
Just in the theater world or just like in general?
Any, your pick.
In the theater world, I would pick that it's more like accepting, which it is. It is becoming more accepting, especially in shows like Six. If you've ever heard of Six, they came to Pittsburgh a couple months ago. And I, oh, sorry.
You're good.
And I remember hearing about how when they have cast members that are people of color, they want to make sure that they have the right tights that match their skin tone, the right undergarments, the right leotards that match your skin tone. They want to make sure that if they're plus size, they have costumes altered to fit them specifically.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of companies can start doing that, because when you're in a show and you're plus sized and you're a person of color, and if the show is being held back or there's something going wrong, even if it's something wrong with the lights or something wrong with stuff not being ordered in time, you feel like it's your fault. You feel like, oh, the costumes aren't here. That's my fault. I had to have it altered. Oh, I'm going to look weird on stage because these are like tan tights for tan people and I'm not tan. Like, these shoes don't match my skin tone. They don't make them in my skin tone. I knew a person who was in a show that had to look far and wide, up and down everywhere, just to find a pair of character shoes that could match their skin tone. And they didn't end up finding them, so they had to buy super expensive character shoes and dye them. I feel like that's something that doesn't need to be happening. I feel like people of color should be able to go on Amazon and look for those mocha colored shoes.
What a great observation. I think of when I was a kid, the big box of crayons had one. I think it was, the color was flesh, and it was the color pretty much of my flesh. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not everybody's flesh.
Yeah.
Is that color? I think they changed that.
They did, which is so grateful.
Because those things seem trivial to some folks, but they really add – first of all, they're not, but they especially add up. So that's a great answer, to be more accepting and inclusive of these things.
And, sorry, not just to, you know, plus-size people of color, but to everybody, people with disabilities and people that, like, haven't had all the training just because they don't have the resume for it. But if you see them and they're right fit, right voice, they fit your vision, but they don't have the resume, they don't have the experience, being in a show is a learning experience. Being in shows have taught me, you know, stage etiquette. They've taught me how to treat tech crew. They taught me so much that I feel like I wouldn't have learned if I weren't in a show first. So it's like you have to give people the experience so they can get the experience and put it on their resume. So,
what a great attitude. I hope we'll see you more. I know it's going to be a busy school year.
Yes.
But I hope you'll keep joining us, if not for any of our programs, just to help promote the show once it's going. Thank you.
Thank you.
For being in here.